Welcome to Running from Diabetes podcast. This is your host, Kevin Kilograms, and this is a forethought before I release into my podcast. The podcast was recorded out on one of my runs in extremely windy conditions. I've been trying to determine if it was too messed up from the wind to even post, but yet it's a because it's just a rambling diatribe, it's not really something that I could recreate in the exact same way. So I decided that towards the end, there's a few spots that are extremely difficult for me to hear and probably are tough on speakers of cars and stuff. And if you could put up with that, the podcast has a lot of information, so I'm just kind of warning you. If it gets too much, you won't hurt my feelings by turning it off. And I will post another one shortly on same, similar, and more rambling diatribe. Thank you. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Running from Diabetes. I'm Kevin Kilograms, and this is my audio journal of me training for endurance sports while dealing with diabetes. Again, it's a beautiful Sunday morning long run. I keep calling them long runs. This one is being cut short. I've done 4 miles, well, 3.91, and my calves are just screaming at me. So, honey and I and the American flag are making a detour to cut the mileage short. So this will end up being about 5 miles instead of the programmed 7. That's okay. We're way ahead of our training curve for March. Excuse me, not March. For the Long Beach Marathon in October. I think we've still got, we're like 22 weeks out. Every running program I've used except for the first one was a 16-week program, but I had a lot of base mileage built up. So this one I'm taking on the longer program of 26 weeks to account for the loss of some base, some all base. I'm gonna get some odd looks now, because not only am I usually run on the Santa Ana River Trail. It's a paved trail that runs along this storm channel out back by a house that goes from the Prado Dam out in Corona all the way out to the ocean. And I live 3.5-4 miles from the ocean along that. I've always referred to it as a bike trail. It's a nicer run, and especially if I'm podcasting there, I'm basically just passed by cyclists and maybe a runner here and there and a walker once in a blue moon. But the shortcut takes me back through the housing tracks. And so here's this sweaty guy wearing a triathlon shorts. I like the Lycra shorts of triathlon. Even though they got the little pad in the butt, they're great for running. They're very comfortable. Going through their neighborhood carrying this American flag, hauling a dog around and talking to himself. So if I blank out for a little bit, we'll know it's the podcaster stare, so I don't get I have to go quiet because I don't want to get hauled away. The men in the white coats coming to get me. Luckily, this is a most everybody I've seen are dog walkers, and so I don't know what it is with this neighborhood that has a lot of little dogs. I mean, I drive the kids to school, and on occasion we'll see there's one lady with a big Saint Bernard and another man with a big Mastiff. But hundreds and hundreds of little dogs My dog doesn't pay much attention unless I have her off the leash, and then she investigates every single thing. But I use something called an easy lead, or an easy leader, I'm not sure exactly. And it's a collar that goes around her neck, way up by her ears, you know, real high on her neck, and then loops around her snout. And she's a Golden Retriever Lab mix, which means that she has a tendency to want to pull. And we took her to a dog training to see if we could break that, and we can't. Very few people, you know, it's just in the nature of the dog, the guy was telling us. But he did show us that this gentle leader wraps around her snout, and when you tug at it, it binds and pulls the snout down. And it's almost like a no command. Very vivid to the dog. Doesn't hurt her at all. But it's definitely obvious when she gets it done, she ceases anything that she's doing and returns back to a heel position. And so over time she's learned that if she doesn't tug and pull, she doesn't pull on her nose. The funny thing is that she has to relearn it every walk. It takes 2 miles to get into it. You have to excuse the wind. It's a I'm walking between houses, so it's cut the wind way down. But whew. Well, funny thing happened to me on the way home from that run last episode. Had that little low. Got home and it had recovered itself from using that agave number 9. And later that night, I hit a massive low. I mean, got up and I was disoriented and couldn't think at all. And I literally wandered downstairs. And funny thing is I picked up my monitor, my blood glucose monitor, and took it with me downstairs instead of like doing it right there or heading into the bathroom and doing it with some light. I walked all the way downstairs. I grabbed, my wife had some, what was it? Coconut cream pie. I grabbed this big thing of coconut cream pie, sat down on the couch, took a spoonful of it, and then proceeded to test my blood sugar as I turned the TV on. Like, it was get-up time in the morning, but this was like 2 o'clock in the morning. Unfortunately, my blood sugar, now I had said I very seldom have blood sugars in the real lows, and I don't think I've ever had one. I know I've never had one under 40. I probably have had a few 50s. Maybe, you know, they're just so far and few between. Few and far between. Did I say that right? So, this was on the verge of so dangerous. I was at a 24. That's like silly low. Just silly low. That's, you know, getting close to pulling out. In our refrigerator, we have something called what the hell is that thing called? It's an emergency pen. If I'm not able to take in sugar orally, like I pass out, they can give me a shot of this stuff. Oh. And it activates the liver to spill sugar or dump sugar into the system. And it's not something I want to experience, especially since I would means I'd be literally out. But this was damn close to it, I think. But needless to say, I proceeded with a spoon and a half a pie of coconut cream. I keep forgetting what it was. Spooned the sucker out and just ate. I didn't eat all of it, but I ate a good chunk of it. Just, you know, you have to know what the experience of a low sugar is like. your body doesn't really react to a low sugar, a high sugar, or low sugar, but the rapid dropping of blood sugar your body senses and reacts to. Everybody is a little different, but my body's very sensitive to this rapid dropping. So it compensates for it. It dumps a ton of your system. And I think the science behind your body is that with that adrenaline, your liver, again, releases sugar for the fight or flight. Unfortunately, one of my medications controls my liver from dumping sugar, because one of the problems diabetics have is the inability to manage sugar both high and low. And so my body will dump sugar from the liver all the time, you know, in scenarios when I don't want it to. So I take a medication that controls that. You know, say if you've ever been into an automobile accident or a severe physical issue, like being mugged, or a walk in and your house being broken into or something like that, and that feeling you get, that rush, super shaky, barely think, everything's almost on a jump out of your skin feeling, that's a super shot of adrenaline. That's the same thing I get with the low sugars. And then your mind utilizes sugar to think, and not having enough sugar in your system means your mind starts to shut down. So you get this awful, awful feeling accompanied by the inability to think. It's so bad that I think we were laying deck or something like that, and I had to fold up a tarp that I'd used to prime some boards. And I couldn't think of how to fold this tarp up. I mean, I literally was having like a massively difficult time thinking of basically folding this tarp just in half and half and half and half. It wasn't real complicated. It didn't need to be perfect. It just needed to be folded, and I couldn't do it. That's how bad your mind can literally shut itself down. That's why low sugars are difficult to treat, because a person with the knowledge, the diabetic himself, typically doesn't have the ability to process the emergency. So as interesting as that sounds, work myself back up, dosed some insulin into my system to compensate for, yes, I overate the cake or the pie. And went back to bed. The next morning I woke up with this severe flu feeling, which if you're an experienced diabetic, you know that's high blood sugars. Okay, no big deal. Happens more often than not sometimes. So I decided, you know, you test your blood sugar and you dose some insulin in, and you move a little slow until the insulin knocks the blood sugar down a little bit, and you're good to go. Tested my blood sugar, and it was over 500, which is like, it's not the highest it's ever been, but any higher, every time it's been higher, I've been hospitalized. And 500 is a figure that is very dangerous, because something can happen called ketoacidosis, which is an uncontrolled high sugar followed by or accompanied by dehydration, will send your body into a confused state, is the best way I can say it. And it starts to I had a car slow down and a lady take a picture of me. She put that on her Facebook wall. Wishing she would tell me so I could go find it. And sure enough, you know, one of the things I do is when I get my blood sugars get pretty high, I pull these test strips out to test for ketones in the urine, and sure enough, so off to the emergency room I went. So I had this whole conversation with you last week about, you know, highs and lows, and and I get the mass extremes both ends the day after. How funny is that? Come on, dog. She's in the mode to sniff everything. And we're not really in a place I can let her off the leash. And so she tugs everywhere. Of course, she's got this nose thing on, which brings her, corrects her back to me. But after a while, she gets bullheaded and decides she's going to pull the switch. I took an extended walk break while I was doing that. See if I could rest those calves. They were just on fire. They seem to have relented a little bit. So we're going to try some running. And I seem to be doing okay. Again, I apologize for the wind noise. As you can tell, my podcast is not a professional endeavor. It's a very low budget affair that I'm basically just trying to document for myself. And gosh, you know, I'm posting it because it doesn't take much effort, time or money in case someone else is dealing with similar issues. Maybe they'll run into an opportunity they can, or I can help them. So, you feel? So that's why I do what I do. There's no music lead in. I tried all that, and I know I would have gotten better and could have turned into something. Dog, stop, stop. But I don't have the time nor the money. I actually had to buy a hosting space, upgraded to the basic plus account, which I ate up all the free space. And I know there are some free sites, but they are more complex, and I am not a computer geek. The fact that I'm doing podcasts at all is a tribute to smarter people making advanced computer stuff more accessible to the masses with software and websites that cater to us non-computer people. So, wrap this all up. Just wanted to kind of give you an update on the forefront of my running. Hopefully later this week I won't have this calf problem continue. It doesn't seem to be a strain or a pull. It's just one of those, you know, I went all morning, all day, all the time without a problem, and this feels like about mile one at tightens up. And this has happened to me in the past. So I have to actually stop and do a little mechanical stretching on my calves. I guess it's better. It's not as bad as it should be. Pretty mellow. It could be due to my form. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like I'm pulling into the house. I will talk at you next episode. Later.